New music right there from New Vega. The new album is called Exit Ocean, and that was Sunset Eyes. Very happy to have two of the gang here in the studio. Welcome, guys, or welcome
hey,
back.
How you
it's
doing?
Been a while. Very happy to have you here. Very excited to have this album see in the light of day. You guys are going to be celebrating the release Saturday at Jimmy's Ladder 11. Should be a great show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're excited about it. First chance to play there, so it should be fun.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, these tracks are, I know. A lot of these, or some of these, were things that we were hearing like in their early iterations last time you were here.
Right, right.
Is this by and large things that were that have been developing over the years, or some newer material?
There's three tracks that were on the last album, Tempo, which we basically took and gave the full treatment to this time with the rest of the songs. So took them into another studio and then had them mastered out at Gateway. And kind of finished them up a little nicer this time. And the rest of them are things we've been working on since the last time we were in. So, yeah, for the most part, it's the new stuff we've been doing over the last year. And then the three tracks from before kind of touched up a little bit.
Very cool. Very cool. And now that you've got this one ready to go, are you guys continuing writing, or are you kind of breathing a sigh of relief, or do you have the next one?
We've taken a little break here.
A little break, yeah.
But we've got one or two, I think, that we've started working on here recently that are going to be pretty cool, that we're pretty excited about.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like if you have a few minutes, what else are you going to do? You know, you're kind of staring at each other.
Might as well write something.
Yeah, yeah. You're either playing shows or writing, so.
Yeah.
In our free time, yeah.
Cool, cool. And you guys have been out on the road a little bit since the last time you were here. Mm-hmm. Where have you gotten to go? Have you been sticking pretty regionally, or gotten to get out a little further this time?
Yeah, we went down through Nashville and Atlanta and down into Florida. We've gone out to Chicago and up into Cleveland and everywhere in between. We've been playing Louisville a lot, Indianapolis. So we're kind of keeping a regional base, but yeah, we have been able to go out a little bit further, which is always fun. Minus like exploding tires and things like that going
That's
down.
Not so fun.
That's not so much fun, but you know, it's part of the gig. So.
Sure, sure. Now, as far as places like Louisville and Indianapolis, I know there's a lot of, especially with Louisville, there's a lot of back and forth between Dayton and Louisville. Do you feel like, from your perspective, as Dayton musicians going down there, are you finding that sort of cross scene or cross pollination of the scenes happening? I'm definitely seeing it from where I sit in this studio, but what about from your perspective?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, we one of the bands we met down in Louisville, we actually ended up playing with a second time, and then they invited them up to Dayton to play. They're actually from Cleveland. So yeah, it kind of just goes on after you get out of town a few times.
Southern Solstice, is that what they're
Southern
called?
Solstice,
yeah. They're really cool.
Really cool guys. Cool guys. And it's tough to tell though, because a lot of times, you know, you pop in around 7 o'clock and you're in this mad tear to get your stuff up and find out where you're at, and then
there's no sound guy, the other bands haven't shown up, the bartender doesn't know what's going on, you're like, am I supposed to be here?
Yeah. So you play on the street, but you know, it's fun.
Sure, no, why not?
but yeah, so it's kind of like a whirlwind. You get there, and by the time you play and find a hotel for the night, you're on to the next place. Fortunately, we have gotten to play with a few groups semi-consistently that have kind of given us a little bit of a grasp on the scene there, but it does happen pretty quickly. So
I was going to say, I think sometimes it can probably be, you know, even from my own assumptions, kind of a misconception that like you have all the luxury of all this time to go like hang out and be in the city, when really it's like,
oh, yeah,
with lives and other things happening, you're rolling in, playing your show and that's about it.
On to the next one.
To the next one. Work to that. Although we did get to go when we were in Cleveland to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum for free. They have a pretty cool thing. You can just bring them your CD and they'll let you in. It was pretty wild.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, the guy at the club we played at was telling us about it. So
yeah, although apparently we had a budget set, and, you know, we were eating dollar menu items, and this guy decides to spend like $70 on
they
photos.
Get you the pictures, not 70.
It was like $70.
It gets, the amount gets greater every week that goes by. But yeah, and I'm not gonna even take credit for that, because that was another member who's not here to defend himself. Yeah, we'll put it on his shoulders.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Group photos, man, they get you every time.
Yeah. Now, moving forward, as you're getting this album out, are you hoping to head out on the road again this fall, or are you going to be sticking pretty close to the sort of, you know, Dayton, Cincinnati, Columbus area for a while?
Honestly, we haven't really talked much about that. I mean, I would say probably staying more local right now, trying to sell as many albums as we can to the people we know.
Cool.
Once we start to make a little more money, we'll get back out there. But
yeah, and we're pretty booked up for the next couple of months. We're doing Dayton Music Fest and the Midwest, the outdoor Was Gear Fest.
Yeah, Midwest Outdoor Experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're doing that now, and Midpoint as well. We just found out about.
We'll
be playing that this year, and just did Bunbury, and we're playing a bunch of shows for Cincinnati Parks, which should be pretty cool. So we're kind of, like it or not, already pretty booked up around the area for the next couple months, which we're excited about. But it does mean I think we'll be a little more regionally based here for the next couple months.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. Well, in talking about getting the album out there, why don't we listen to another track?
Cool.
Okay.
Let's do it.
This one is called No Release. It's from New Vega's latest album, which is Exit Ocean. They're going to be celebrating the release of that this weekend. More on that here in just a moment. But first, let's take a listen.
Well, maybe you're right for holding on. Holding on. The stones we throw, they take their toll. Somewhere we begin believing it. So the telephone lines comes across too thin. Let us in, or cover us with lies upon telephone wires. Something pulls me in. You there is the slow release, slow release. Come on, wash over me. What else did you want from me?
music from New Vega. That's from their album Exit Ocean. It's the brand new one, and they're celebrating the release of that this Saturday night at Jimmy's Ladder 11. It's going to be a great show. And right before we heard that, we were talking about you guys are going to be at Dayton Music Fest and Midwest Outdoor Experience down at Midpoint Music Fest. Now, Jimmy's, you know, is a club and a restaurant, and then you're doing Dayton Music Fest, which takes place in clubs, but then you've got kind of these outdoor festivals. For you guys as performers, is there a difference in sort of mental preparation or the vibe as you're forming your set when you're playing these different types of gigs?
Not really. I mean, you'd kind of just go play your stuff, I guess.
I think we all kind of agree playing outdoors is just, you know, it's a blast. You got a lot more people there. You can fit a lot more people. You know, you get a place like Jimmy's Ladder 11, you know, 50, 60 people, and you're kind of maxed out, you know. But I think we played at Riverscape a couple months ago, and there was about 500 people there. You know, it's playing for crowds like that, you know, when you're outdoors and you got a good sound system and you got people working the stage, like the whole thing is just more put together than necessarily playing inside, you know, at a venue like Ladder 11. But, you know, we make it work.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's nice playing outside, first of all, just because you're outside and it kind of feels right. But, you know, playing at midnight in a club also feels right, you know, sometimes, so.
Different type of feeling. It's got to be cool to sort of, you know, outside where people can kind of drift over, maybe not knowing what they're going to hear, just being like, hey, that sounds kind of cool. But then you get that club where everybody's there, you know, to see you.
I will say at the outdoor things, there's usually like this army of like 5-year-olds that just drank like so much Kool-Aid or sugar water or whatever they're drinking.
Mountain Dew, just dancing.
Oh, they're just bashing into each other. And that I really do enjoy.
Yeah.
A lot. So.
That's got to be one of those things. I mean, did you ever expect when you started a rock band that you'd be like, having 5-year-olds, rocking out in front of the stage?
Yeah, we give like a free ice cream bar with the album and we just sell out, you know?
It's perfect. Yeah. It's the perfect marketing technique.
Yeah, exactly. More sugar.
Yeah, exactly. Now, people will be able to get the album from you at the show. And then through your website as well.
Yeah, we're going to be selling it through our website, trying something a little bit different this time than using some of the other services that people generally use to distribute music. So, definitely easiest and best way right now to get it would be to come out on Saturday and hang out and then check out our website and Facebook, and we'll have it up there too.
Very cool. Very cool. That's going to make it, you know, maybe a little easier for you guys, you know, get it directly from the artist, you know what
exactly
you're doing and you've got your inventory all set. And...
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's nice now because, you know, you can kind of be the center yourself of everything, you know. So we're like our own little management group and, you know, generating everything. So it's cool.
Cool. Very cool. Moving into the winter time after you get through all these festivals, are you guys going to try to make kind of a concerted effort to hunker down and write, or just kind of see how the songs come?
Yeah, I mean, writing, we're probably going to fall back into that real quick. So,
yeah.
We just moved our studio and have that all set up just in time for winter now. So,
yeah, I mean,
although we still have a few months left. Of
yeah.
Honestly, the coolest thing about being in a band is writing songs. And that's, you know, for anybody that's a musician, that's the idea. That's what you really do it for, is to write new music, you know. And we've been playing this album for a year and a half now. And we definitely want to play it out more, and we're going to. But, you know, what we like to do, you know, true to our hearts, is write music. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. The basement's kind of our thing, you know, so.
And having played together for so long, it's got to be, I'm sure, kind of a natural pattern that you guys all fall into, where you just, you know, are kind of all syncing up to each other and saying, okay, here we go.
Yeah,
oh, sure.
Yeah, we just kind of show up and play now. It's nice. There's not really a whole lot else to it at this point.
Keeps it simple.
Yeah, very.
The next one we're going to hear off the album is Harbor. Do you guys want to tell me a little bit about the track or any interesting facts about the way it was recorded or anything like that as we go into this one?
Interesting facts. Well, we kind of stuck this one in the middle of the album because in a way I think it kind of sums up the feeling of the whole album and kind of gives a little bit of a break and maybe a pause for the second half without really going into, you know, detail about, you know, the meanings to every little piece of it. But yeah, we all really enjoy this one.
Yeah, honestly, you know, when we recorded this album, this one was kind of on the back burner to me. Once we actually had like the physical copies and were able to sit down and just put in the CD player and listen to it, this one definitely became a favorite of mine. And I think, yeah, you know, everyone else can agree with that too.
Well, let's take a listen to that one right now. Cool. This is Harbor. It's from New Vega's new album, which is called Exit Ocean. You're hearing it on Kaleidoscope on WISO. We're back here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO, listening to some selections from New Vega's latest album. It's called Exit Ocean. They're celebrating the release this Saturday at Jimmy's Ladder 11. And as we were listening, as we were getting ready to listen to Harbor, you mentioned it's kind of this you know, breath or this pause between sort of the two halves of the album. When you guys are putting together an album, this one or your previous albums, are you thinking of them in kind of in those like old school vinyl terms of like two sides or two halves of an album or the connectivity between tracks?
No, but I probably will now. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not sure we've gotten that far in writing.
I don't. Maybe that's where it comes from, you know, or that's why that is like inherent in most albums, you know, maybe that is why. But I think it was mostly just, you know, if you were to listen to something all the way through and there's not some sort of curve to the sound, you know, you kind of your brain shuts off. So maybe in an attempt to kind of let it reboot for the second half, I think that was probably the intention.
When you guys are putting an album together, when you put this album together, where does that finding of the thread come in the process? Are you recording everything and then sequencing the tracks, or do you kind of have in mind, you know, this is the start point and this is the end point when you're going into the studio?
Well, I will say when we decided that we were gonna actually, you know, go into the studio and make an album, we had enough songs. I think we were like two or three songs short, you know, and we really kind of wanted to get it going, and we realized that we had three or four songs that were kind of slower, and we needed like two or three more just to kick the album up a little bit. So we wrote Sunset Eyes, I think was one of the last ones that we wrote. But I mean, just trying to make sure the album's, you know, even. You don't want too much of one thing, you know, before you get bored with it. So
right.
I think that was one of the things we thought about when we were actually going into the studio.
Yeah, there was, I would say there was maybe not on the whole, like for the whole sequence, I don't think the plan was there, but for individual or three or four song parts, there was a little bit of thought to it.
Little arcs within the whole.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. When now that you guys have the album done, do you feel like anything you did in the studio as you were putting it together has changed the way that you play these songs live? Did it make you working in the studio setting? Did it make you sort of reevaluate or hear your songs in a different way, and that, you know, sort of change the way you're approaching them on stage?
Oh yeah. The songs, I mean, it's kind of almost odd to call some of these the same songs as they were before, because they changed just so much. We worked with a bunch of different people on this album, which is the first time we've really tried to do that. So, from the initial pre-production stage to just the recording stage, they'd already become something different. And then during the recording, there was a lot of studio work done, parts taken out and added, and we're actually for this show, we're really trying to incorporate a lot of that, because, you know, in the studio you can have 100 hands playing instruments, but on stage we have 8. So this CD release show we're going to be playing, we're actually bringing in some good friends of ours to play with us.
3 or 4 people.
Yeah. So that this directly, in this case, yeah, we're definitely for the CD release show, especially going to be, changing things up quite a bit.
And I would imagine that's gotta be that experience through this particular studio process had to be a little different for you guys. 'Cause prior to this, you were doing pretty much all your own recording, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It was so much easier doing it this way. We're trying to record an album by yourself, setting up, making sure all your equipment works, the soundboard works, the computers work, all that stuff, and then try and record an album is just insane.
Yeah,
you're just
ready
spent
for
by the time. By the time you get everything running, you're just like, well, all right, let's call it a day.
Yeah.
But yeah, going into a studio, having an engineer, making sure everything is working properly, and just walking in, and within a half hour of being there, you're hitting the record button and things are going is man, it's so much better.
Editing, especially for the album, like you wake up in the morning and there's an email, and our good friend Eric Stewart, who's just a madman at this kind of stuff, was a recording engineer and mix engineer and edited a lot of the album. So shout out to him, first of all. But yeah, it's incredible when you wake up and you have an email and you show up and it's like things have progressed and you weren't, you know, necessarily even a part of it. Right. It's kind of cool. So you get to almost listen to it as a listener, and kind of get to step out of it for a second for that, for those couple minutes, at least when you're listening to it again.
Do you find that it also sort of facilitates that kind of letting go that needs to happen to be able to call it done? I've talked to some bands that do self-recording, and they say recording it is really good, but they have so much control over the product, they never consider it done.
Yeah, literally for 1,000 hours. Yeah. I mean, Tempo, when we got done recording that, we were just like, all right, let's just be done with this. We could spend another 2 months fixing every little nook and cranny, but let's call it quits. It's good, you know. Right. Having somebody else behind the board, it's like, all right, these guys are happy, we're happy.
Right.
It's good.
The urgency helps. It changes your writing. It changes everything. Yeah. The urgency is good, because otherwise, you know, you never really finish writing things. You're just, the deadline hits.
Well, it helps that you're punching a clock too, you know.
Yeah.
You're paying for your time. You're paying hourly. It's like, all right, guys, let's go. Let's get
you
it
gotta
done.
Make the most of what you're paying for.
This one's pretty much done. Yeah, so it's good.
Awesome. Yeah. That's gotta really speed up the process, or at least force you to make those tough choices.
Yeah, and I think it helped, because when you're in the studio like that, you know, things can get a bit too much on the studio side. But when you are working with other people and you're kind of doing things on the fly, it brings it back into that live realm.
Yeah, I mean,
so you get a good balance.
When you have all that time, you just micromanage. I think History, one of the tracks on the new album, you guys literally, I think we took the first take that you guys did. We might have done it like two times, and it was just Alex on vocals and Chance doing the guitar parts. Pretty simple song. But they did it once, nailed it. Second time, they tried it again, nailed it again. We ended up, I think, taking the first track. And it was like, you know, if we had done that in the studio on our own, we would have spent weeks on it, you know, just micromanaging every little thing. But just having that, like, well, you got one chance, let's do this thing.
Yeah,
you know, and they nailed it.
Yeah. Very cool, very cool. Was there anything else people ought to know before they come out and see you on a Saturday night and get their hands on this album, or cruise on over to the website and pick it up?
Yeah, basically just that, you know, we're doing this as an attempt to kind of set it apart from the usual shows we do. Everything from the venue to playing with some of our friends, Mike Paytak, Adam Elfers will be up on stage with us, and some more friends of ours, and Joe Hedges will be opening up, and he's a ridiculously talented guy, helped with the album as well, so it's kind of a celebration of, you know, everyone that's helped us along the way.
Yeah, we're also going to have our hype man, our official quote-unquote hype man, Carl. It's his birthday.
Oh, yes.
So I'm shouting out to him
right now, too,
so he'll be there, too.
Very cool, very cool. It is Saturday night at Jimmy's Ladder 11, the celebration of a New Vega's latest release. It's called Exit Ocean. Go out to the show, pick the CD up from the band, or cruise on over to their website and get a copy. We've got links up to their info on our Facebook page. We're facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. We're going to hear one more from the album, but guys, I want to thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Check it out, New Vega, Saturday night at Jimmy's Ladder 11. Here's another one from Exit Ocean. This is called Something You Said. This is Kaleidoscope on WISO.